Mark Sigmund, you ready?
Sure am, Gary.
Mike Vito, are you ready?
Yes, sir, guys.
All right, let's go. Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Clean and Sober Radio out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on WWDB AM 860 and also ESPN 610 Talk Radio. My name is Gary Hendler. I'll be your host today, as I've been for the last 5 years, and along with my great co-host, Mark Sigmund. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Gary. How about you? Friday afternoon. Looks like a nice weekend coming up and doing well.
Yeah, that's great. Good news. Listen, this is the difficult time for everybody.
Yes.
And, you know, our community in recovery, it's especially difficult. So we're glad we can provide this service of live radio, you know, back and forth. It's almost like an AANA meeting. I mean, we have a great guest today. Mark Stein from the band Vanilla Fudge will be on. We're very excited about that. So we're going to have a big audience today. We got a lot of response to every week to the show, and with Mark Stein coming on, it's a big boost for us.
Yeah, it's fantastic. From Vanilla Fudge.
That's right.
Vanilla Fudge.
You weren't even born then, but man,
I wasn't, but I know the tune you were talking about before the show.
Well, they're also, besides that hit record, they're great. He's a great musician, and the band is a great musician. Let's do a couple things real quick. Check us out. You can watch us or listen to us. You can watch us if you go on Facebook under Clean and Sober Radio. You can watch us doing the show live. You can go, if you're around here, you can listen on a radio, if anybody remembers what a radio is, at 860 AM, or go on our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com, and you can check us out. We have a lot of fun doing this. Serious subject, a lot of fun. We want to mention our three favorite underwriters, and we just want to say to the audience, listen, man, if you want to get help, if you think you need help, if you don't think you need help, but you probably do need help, there's no delivery service for recovery, okay? And there's no drive-thrus. Here's what you do. We have three local organizations around here. We have Recovery Centers of America, a great organization, a great rehab. Brian O'Neill at the helm of that. We have Jefferson University and Jefferson Healthcare, Jefferson Hospitals. With Steve Clasco, he's at the helm of that one. And we have Acadia Healthcare also with Mark. I'm drawing a blank.
Don't look at me.
Jesus God Almighty. Mark Shore.
There you go. And they're all open.
And they're all open. Everybody's open, man. There's plenty of recovery around here.
Yeah.
There's plenty of treatment. So we're here. Check out our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. See who's been on the show, who's coming on the show, events coming up, and everything else, you know.
Oh, yeah, and subscribe to the podcast. It'll get delivered every week. Yeah. You can hear the show either live or go on to that podcast.
Right, and like us on Facebook.
And like us and share us on Facebook. That would be awesome. We want to get the word out, and we're trying to get every state in the U.S. listening. We're going to have a map eventually. We're going to put a little pin.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great, won't it?
Yeah. Mark Stein is lead vocalist, keyboardist, composer, arranger for a Vanilla Fudge, iconic rock and roll psychedelic band, late 60s, early 70s. This is my music, man. You know, along with groups like Cream, Iron Butterfly, just incredible stuff. Mark, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, man.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, actually, I'm doing pretty good right now.
Yep.
It's been a crazy couple of weeks, you know, with this pandemic and just trying to get my family straightened out and trying to keep writing music and trying to this and trying to do that, you know. So how you guys doing?
Well, we're good. We're hanging in there. We've been crazy. Doing the show. And, you know, Mark, you know, we spoke this afternoon, and, you know, I'm going to jump all around here, but I have so many questions for you. And, you know, we're very excited that you're giving us your time today. So thank you. So you
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. It's
you,
great.
You were born in Bayonne, New Jersey, correct?
Yes, I was.
And
that's right, Bayonne, New Jersey.
Bayonne, yeah. New Jersey. And a couple things. You started playing the piano at 4. You attempted the accordion. I just can't see you playing the accordion. You checked out guitars, but your love is the organ, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Once I got addicted to that, that's a good addiction.
That's
I got
a good
addicted
positive
to that
one.
Early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a
so, beef? Yeah, I started.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm known for playing the Hammond B3 organ. I kind of introduced that into progressive rock around 60, you know, 66, 67.
That B3 organ is also an iconic instrument during that time. I mean, anybody who was anybody was playing a B3 Hammond, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that was it. That was my orchestra. There was no synthesizers. There was no other, you know. The Hammond had the ability to create dynamics and, you know, great chops and power and everything else. And yeah, I mean, it's just an awesome. It still is. I mean, I still love playing. You know, I played all the clones that there are, and there's some really good ones out there. But for me, when I play live, I gotta have that big piece of wood, that Hammond, in front of me, so I can stand and lean into it and rock with it, and that's my baby. You know.
And man, you got a great voice, also. You know.
Oh, thank you.
You really thank do. You know, I want to tell you something. I remember I told you I worked at Universal Records from 68 to 76. And I remember, you know, we were the distributor for ADCO Records. And I remember when your album out, man, that went to every progressive rock radio station in Philadelphia. And you guys became, I mean, as young men, international stars very quickly with You Keep Me Hanging
crazy.
On, didn't you?
I was crazy. You know, I mean, yeah. When that first album came out, all the underground, thank God for underground radio stations in those days, because at the time, you know, everything was a 3-minute single, you right. know, on all the, you know, the AM stations. So we kind of broke the mold. When that first album came out, we had all these long symphonic arrangements. They started playing it on WNEW, New York FM, San Francisco,
yep.
LA, Chicago.
Yep.
And before you knew it, everything got crazy. Everything changed, you know. And if it wasn't for those underground stations, we never would have, you know, the creative thing we were doing would have never got really heard, you know. So
and you know,
kudos to that.
In Philadelphia, it was WMMR was the big underground radio station in Philadelphia.
Right.
And, you know, I was looking up a couple of facts. You know, when Enigata de Vida came out by Iron Butterfly, it was 17
yeah.
minutes and 2 seconds. And I think that you Keep Me Hanging On, was it 6 minutes and 49 seconds?
Well, it was like 7 minutes and 2 seconds,
okay.
I think.
And
right, the original arrangement.
Well, you know what that did for all the disc jockeys, this kind of music? It gave them time to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
what it did.
Absolutely.
That's definitely what it did. You know, I
well,
go ahead.
No, I'm glad it had a positive effect, you know, on urological problems anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, your music was psychedelic, wasn't it? Wasn't it categorized as psychedelic music?
Yeah, well, when we started, you know, we just started doing these arrangements in a symphonic approach.
Yeah.
And we took songs and we broke them down and rebuilt them. And, you know, we just felt like we looked at it like we were a symphony with the four instruments. The critics called the psychedelic. The critics, you know, named the psychedelic symphonic rock band. So that's how that started. And, you know, when that first record came out.
So your theory was to take like a lot of these well-known great songs, rearrange them with a cool, you know, vocal with it. And I think that some of your influences were groups like the Delphonics, Shemp and the Limelights, the Impressions. That's all my music, man.
Yeah.
That's the best stuff.
Yeah, well, when we were kids, that's what we used to listen to, you know, on the streets. You know, I was on the streets early when I was, you know, 14, 15 years old. I had some really cool singing groups and a cappella groups We used to sing all over Bayonne and Jersey City, Hudson County, and you know, it was a great education. Those are all the, you know, the groups that we used to listen to. So when Vanilla Fudge came back together, when we started our band, rather, everybody was, you know, influenced by all of that, and everybody was able to sing. And, you know, we used to go to club gigs when we were kids. We used to always sing in the car on the way and developed our blend on the harmonies, you know.
You know, Dion came from, you know, New Jersey somewhere, you know, and he had told us, he's been on the show before, that his greatest thrill was the first time when he heard his song come on the radio, and he's driving around in his convertible somewhere in New Jersey. I mean, what was it like when you first heard your music being played on the radio? That must have been incredibly...
Well, I'll tell you what, I will corroborate Dion's testimony, okay?
Yeah.
Because he's 100% right. When you hear yourself on the radio for the first time, there was no high greater in this life, okay? It's so thrilling. It's so, you know, you're screaming. You got the car windows down. You're driving to the car night. That's us on the radio.
Right.
I mean, it really is.
It's really me. It's really me, right?
It's amazing. Man. I remember I'd be on my way over to, I'd be in my Corvette. I'd be driving back out to Long Island from Bayonne. I'd be going through Staten Island over to Verrazano, and I would see these people listening to, you know, Vanilla Fudge on the radio, and I'd hear it, and I'd be screaming, "That's me!" And it looked like I was nuts.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Hey, what year vet was it?
Wild.
Mark, what year vet was it?
It was 68.
68, the first year of the new style. Yeah.
No, it was cool as shit. It was a hot car back then, you know.
Yeah, I know.
About a 390 horse. A 390 rear. And
you probably should have kept it.
425 horse, I guess.
Are you a car guy also?
I should have kept it.
You a car guy?
I would have. Say what?
You into cars?
Yeah,
me too.
I love cars.
Yeah, me too. So, all right, give us a little background on how Vanilla Fudge came to be. Our viewers, you know, people are watching us now and also listening, of course. How did it come to be, that band?
Well, you should probably get my book, You Keep Me Hanging On, The Raising Story of Rock Music's Golden Age.
All right, let's talk about that right now before we forget. So, it's on Amazon?
It's on Amazon.
Yep.
And it's also on Mark. It's also by mark-stein.com. And if you get it on, I do signed copies from my website.
Okay.
So,
you
can do either one.
I was on your website yesterday.
But
it's a nice
50
website.
It's 50 years of rock history, how it all started.
Yeah. Okay.
All started. It's like, you know, it's an amazing historical journey.
Okay.
And, you know, it's gotten great reviews over the years. And, but I'll talk about how the band started. But
yeah, tell us. But we do want, we'll mention the book again before the show's over, of course.
Okay, well, we were a bunch of kids, you know, 18 years old, 19 years old. We were playing in cover bands. I was in a band called Rick Martin, The Showman, and that introduced me to the streets in New York City. You know, we were playing like places like The Headliner, The Peppermint Lounge, The Wagon Wheel. We're talking about 1966.
Yep.
And then I went to see a band that was having this amazing buzz, a band called the Young Rascals, you know?
Of course.
And everybody was hearing about this band, Young Rascals. So I went and saw them, you know, at the phone booth, I think it was. And it was a discotheque in the 60s there in New York City. And I mean, I was just so mesmerized and so blown away by the sound that they had. And this guy, Felix Cavalieri, was playing this Hammond B3 organ, you know, which was blowing me away. The guy was a soulful singer.
Yes, he had this amazing
sound. He's pumping bass pedals. So I went every chance I could, get a scotch and soda and sit as close to the Hammond as I could. But, and that band with their blue-eyed soul harmonies and arrangements, they were just amazing at that time. So that was a major influence for me, because I had to go out and get a Hammond B3 at that time. That was it for me. I was like 18.
Yep.
And, you know, the rest of the band, we were called the Pigeons, and we were getting a following around the, you know, the New York, New Jersey area, and also Rhode Island. We were getting a really cool following playing. And everybody was into the same direction, you know, and we went and saw this band called the Vagrants, which spawned a guitar player by the name of Leslie West, okay?
Yep, sure.
And that was like the first band we ever saw that was doing production arrangements, they were called. They were really the first ones. They were taking songs and slowing them down. And first time I saw them, it was the greatest band I ever saw alive. I was so blown away that on the way home that night, I I was just so inspired by them to create that kind of musical direction, and that's what I did.
Your music is very, besides psychedelic, it's very soulful. And from the list of your influences, I can tell that, you know, you really dug the, you know, black music. That's what I grew up with, you know, James Brown and all that kind of stuff. And that was a good start for you, wasn't it, to have those kind of people as your influences?
Well, yeah, that's what happens when you grow up young in New Jersey. You know, you have it's an incredible, you know, potpourri is a great breeding ground of talent like that. And we're just a product of our influences.
Absolutely.
That's how it goes, you know.
Mark, we're going to ask you to hold on. We have to take our first break. Don't go anywhere. And we will be back in a short break with Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge. Don't go away.
Don't go away.
Don't go away.
A cancer diagnosis knocks the wind out of you. The experts at Jefferson Health's Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center can help. We tailor a care plan to fit your specific cancer with access to leading-edge treatments like immunotherapy and advanced clinical
over
trials,
this way?
All from the location that works best for you. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW, the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center, until every cancer is cured. Starting with yours.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, this is Governor Tom Wolf. Thousands of families across Pennsylvania have been affected by the opioid epidemic. Together, we can fight this disease. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, help is available. Visit pa.gov/opioids for resources and information on substance abuse. For treatment options, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Brought to you by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Tom Wolf, Governor. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Hi, this is David Ossikinen, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio on WWDB.
Nice turn, Jill. Toby, isn't your sister doing a nice job as a new driver?
Sure. Hey, by the way, Dad, have you ever smoked marijuana? It's getting legalized everywhere, so it's okay to do now, right?
OMG, Toby, are you serious?
It's not legal everywhere, and it's not legal for kids at all.
This conversation can happen anywhere, and your kids need to know the facts. 76% of teens agree that with legalization, teenagers may be more likely to experiment with marijuana.
Legal or not, marijuana is harmful to teens developing brains and can cause permanent damage. It could also cause heart and respiratory problems.
I heard it could lead to using other drugs.
61% of teens agree that teenagers who use marijuana are more likely to try heroin.
But marijuana has been around forever.
Sure, but the type that's out there now is stronger than when I was younger, so it's really important for you two to be careful.
I never thought about that.
Well, now's the time to start thinking about it.
Now's the time to talk to your kids about substance use. Learn more at rosecrans.org.
Hey, we're back with Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge. It's one of his new recordings called Racism. It's very, very apropos to what's going on, man, unfortunately, in this country. It's good music. We're going to play it again soon. Mark, you there? Mark, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, cool.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear. I can hear you now. Before
before
we just jump back, I always acknowledge, you know, these people that are watching us, because partly because you're doing the show today. Hope Bessler, Frank Brightman, Michael Forbes, Brian Martin, Mike Siberia, Jim Petrowski, Jeff Finkelstein, Suzanne Duncan, Larry Wernick. I got a whole list. We'll go through more of them later. Okay, we're back. We're back with Mark Stein, Out of Sight, man. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, everything's cool. So first of all, you're in Florida now, aren't you?
I am in Florida. I'm in South Florida.
Yeah, how do you like it down there?
Well, it's hot, you know.
Yeah, I know, and it's hot. You know. Yeah.
I've been down here for 20 years. I've been, you know, pretty much down here for 20 years living down here.
Okay.
How are you keeping yourself occupied with the whole pandemic going on and everything down there, Mark?
Well, I'm getting into meditation more than ever. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I mean, you have so much leisure time. You can't play. I mean, all our cruises were canceled. You know, all our spring, summer tours, classic rock tours are gone. And, you know, I've just been playing and practicing, and I've been doing some writing too. You know, I've got some cool material that I just can't wait to get together when the time is right, when we have the green light, you know.
Yeah, you know, actually, Mark was supposed to be in Ardmore at the Ardmore Music Hall.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he was supposed to be in Ardmore on April 17th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Didn't make that one. That's right near us. That's right near the station.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, whenever, you know, what we like to do is also, whenever you got a gig coming up, especially if it's wherever it is, or a book, we like to promote it for our guests because we really appreciate you coming on, and we'd like to give back, you know? So, hey, Mark, so let's talk about what was the drug scene like with your psychedelic music?
In the 60s?
Yeah, not now, of course. Yeah, in the 60s.
Yeah, well, of course in the 60s. Well, look, I mean, I'm my childhood 60s. It was, you know, a lot of marijuana, you know?
Yeah.
Man, it was the Haight-Ashbury scene, San Francisco, L.A., New York.
Yeah.
Oh, did you meet the Dead? The Grateful Dead?
You know what? I knew everybody, but the Dead, we ran in different circles, okay?
Gotcha.
Right. That's the way it was, you know. I mean, I hung out with Joplin and all the Zeppelin guys and the Cream guys and the Purple guys, you know. But we ran in different circles, you know.
Yeah, we're smiling here and shaking our heads because all those artists that you just mentioned.
Gary hung out with too, right?
Yeah, man, you know.
Yeah,
I had my fun with them. Did you ever get to meet any of your idols, you know, the Del Vikings, Chuck Berry, all those kind of people? When you started to get famous, did you get to meet these people?
Well, that was one of the incredible things about the beginning, because I was a fan of everybody, and when Vinyl first started making, you know, a lot of noise,
yeah,
you know, a lot of these artists would, like, I'd be sitting with Sonny Bono, okay,
yeah,
for instance, that comes to mind, and I'm sitting somewhere, and where was it? Had to be 67, and we were doing a show with Sonny and Cher in the Fifth Dimension, a band called Moby Grape.
Yeah, of course, I remember, sure.
And so here I am, you know, sitting and talking to Sonny Bono, and he's telling me about how excited Ahmet Erdogan, the chairman and CEO, is about Vanilla Fudge and their new music, and this is going to be a huge album, you know. I'm talking to Sonny. Here I am, just a kid, just mesmerized by everybody around me. And, yeah, I mean, it was just an incredible time. It was a glorious time, you know.
You know, you had been hailed as pioneers of the psychedelic era.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? How does that make you feel when people say that?
Well, I'm grateful that I was, you know, able to be a part of it. You know, I mean, bands like Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple and Styx and, you know, Yes, and even Chicago cites this as some part of their, you know, growth and influence, because, you know, Vanilla Fudge is really the first band on record back then that really dared to be different, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And and it gave them the guts to go ahead and try some elaborate arranging and a lot of different bands, and that was, you know, definitely part of the back then for sure.
So tell us, what's going on now? I know you can't be on the road, so...
Can't be on the road.
So if we didn't have this pandemic, what would your typical week look like now? Would you be on the
road?
If we
didn't have the pandemic, I would have been out on tour.
Yeah.
You know? We would have been on tour with Robbie Krieger from The Doors, and you know, we had all these gigs. We had gigs, like you said, near you at Ardmore. We had We had shows all over the country.
Yeah, I know.
And there was a lot more coming in, and we also got a new record deal.
From
an Australian label. I was preparing arrangements with the band to go to the studio and do this new record, and everything's been just put on hold.
Bummed a little bit about it, or
of course.
My what?
Stupid question. I was going to say, are you bummed about it? Yeah. You know, not being able to go on the
road. We're all bummed. We're all bummed about it.
Any ideas, Mark, when it's going to open up? Do you have any inkling of when you can get back on the road? Is it going to be after the first year? Or you think maybe during the, you think in the fall? Or what are you thinking? I mean,
I'd like to do, but in reality, the promoters, the control the venues have to feel that it's safe to open. So social distancing is the big cliche word.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. They might be trying to do venues where they have social distancing.
What about outdoor? What about outdoor? No, outdoor's no good either. The fans are standing next to each other, right?
Well, they're talking about doing, I mean, it's crazy. They're talking about doing drive-in theaters. But it'll have like updated sound systems for the car.
Right.
Play outside.
Like that's a drive-in. Like a drive-in, right?
Like a drive-in concert. It makes sense, but I just don't know how equitable it's going to be. There's things being tossed around, but it's going to take a while until the fear of, the reality of the pandemic is behind us,
Holy mackerel.
So
are you with... Is the band now? Who's in the band now with you?
Vinnie Martell, the original guitarist.
Right, he's with you still. Okay.
Then Carmine, Carmine Appice, the original drummer.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, and Pete Bramme is Tim Bogert retired a number of years ago, so Pete Bramme from New Jersey has been with us for a decade now.
Right.
And the band is. I gotta say, we're still rocking it, People love seeing the band, and the energy is still there. What about the young dudes, there's no question about it.
Well, I was watching some videos of you earlier today, and one of them was on the, I think the Kimmel Show.
That was Jimmy Fallon.
I mean, Jimmy. You guys are really unbelievable band. I mean, I can't wait till we can come out there and watch you guys play, because, as I said to you today on the phone, I've always been a big fan. That genre of 67 to 71 is the greatest music of all time, and you are, you're part of it, man. That's history.
Well, Vanilla Fudge was right at the center of the pop music universe in those days, and we're still bringing it over 53 years later. It's remarkable that we can still play as well as we do collectively.
53 years,
it's insane, right?
Yeah. So what? You were what, 8 years old when you started? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, I was actually I started playing when I was probably five.
Yeah, I know you did. Can you still? Are you still proficient on the guitar and? The accordion, but I don't know what you'd do with that, but.
I was a kid. When I was a kid, when I was 9 years old, my father, took me to get accordion lessons.
Yeah.
That was all the keyboard players all the accordion players went on to be, really good organ players and piano players. And myself, Ray Manzarek from the Doors.
Yes.
Started out on the accordion. I started out because that was the instrument of the day, in the late 50s.
Yeah, when I think of the accordion, I think of Lawrence Welk. You know what I mean?
Oh, so my dad wanted me to be Myron Florin,
He
was
a
great accordion player.
Yes, yes.
And Dick Cantino, they were incredible. Let me tell you something. A lot of my chops that I did today started out on the accordion, all the triplets and fast runs and stuff. I mean, it just transcended into modern keyboards.
Yeah. That makes sense, actually, that progression, if you think about it. It's that's really incredible. Hey, listen, man, we really appreciate you giving us the half an hour that you're giving us. And, Mark, we'd like to be able to call back, maybe a month or two and see what's going on with you. And I do want to still mention, what's the book, your book, what's the name of it?
You keep me hanging on.
You keep me hanging on.
The Raging Story. Yeah, the Raging Story of Rock Music Golden Age. Everybody that's anybody was interviewed in that, from all the Doors, and, you know, one of Rod's good guys, Billy Joel, and, you know, Sid Bernstein, God rest his soul, did interviews, a lot of great interviews in the book. 50 years of rock history, so, you know, check it out.
Hey, Mark, one last question for you. You know, you mentioned the Doors. Did you meet Jim Morrison and hang out with the Doors back in the 60s?
Well, the last time I saw Jim Morrison, Vanilla Fudge was playing As the Sun Set at the Seattle Pop Festival, 1969, I think it was. And I'm turning to my right, and there's Jim Morrison, maybe 10 feet, 12 feet from me, looked like he was just staring right through me. And I'll never forget it, you know?
Yeah,
it was pretty incredible. And, and when the show was over, I ran over to find him, and he disappeared, you know? And it was the last time I saw him. Robbie Krieger, you know, is even today, we're still really good friends, and we played together and jammed together and toured together with the Doors of the 21st Century back in 2005. We did a whole North American tour together, which was really cool.
Hey, Mark, would you do us a favor? Can you do a drop for the show?
A what?
A drop. You know, hi, this is Mark Stein.
Yeah, sure.
We would love to have you do that. Mike, anytime is good for Mark. Mark, whenever you can, go ahead. It's open.
Yeah, just give me the call letters.
WWDB.
WWD like David, V like Victory.
No, WWDB like Bad Boy.
Like Boy. Gary.
You're like me.
Yeah, man, we're all badass.
That's no right. Kidding, so. Go ahead.
Let me write this down.
Okay. WWDB.
Hey,
yeah, we're here. WWDB.
Okay, I got it.
Hit it, man.
Yeah, hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge, and you're listening to station WWDB. So let's keep on rocking, and let's have the faith. Let's stay clean and sober, and don't press your guts too much, because we're all going to be behind us one day. So good luck to everybody, and all the best.
Thanks, Mark. No, that's good. Was that okay? That was good. Beautiful. Mark Stein, thank you so much. Have a safe weekend, and we will be in touch with you, brother.
I'll talk Thanks, to you soon, Mark. Man.
Thanks, man.
All right. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, great, man. All right, let's take a break. Can we get to a break? Let's go.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hey, this is Willie Potts, and I listen to the Clean and Sober Show on WWDB 860 AM.
Oh, Mark, sing to this one. You know the words of this?
Oh, no. Let's hear it, Karen.
Recognize this? It's a B3 organ, Hammond organ, B3. Oh, we're going to have to cut. All right, let's. Good. Okay,
very
we're
psychedelic.
Back. Huh?
Very psychedelic.
Yeah, man, you know, it's the remake of the Supremes, You Keep Me Hanging On. Great record.
That's a great.
Yeah, but you know, if we play it too long, Facebook will shut the music down anyway.
Can't we just get his permission when we were talking to him?
He probably doesn't own the music. It's the person that owns the music.
I got you.
Let me get Mike Sabira, Frank Brightman, Michael and Frank. You're both my best friends, man. Jim Petrowski, Jeff Finkelstein. Hi, Suzanne. Larry Wernick, how are you, buddy? Jim Meehan. Kathy Glass Boyle. Beth Ann Platt. Hi, Beth. Another one of my old girlfriends. Mark Willig. Debbie Art. Hi there. Kevin Gleason.
Yo, Kev. Oh, he wasn't here last week. We missed him.
Yeah, we missed him. Daniel Drydock. My wife, Marjorie Hendler. Hi, honey. How are you? My sister, Jane Shapiro. Let me see who else. Sharon Rogers. Oh, Brian Martin. Bobby Yanturno and I are in Florida. They rode those bikes
to Florida.
Fishing up. Man, finishing up his ride for the comrades. Oh, man. You guys are incredible.
How long's he been on the road now?
About a week and a half. That's a long time. Yeah.
He's got to be hurting.
Yeah. Mimi Dorshu, how are you? Hello again, gentlemen. I still don't know who she's referring to. You know that?
Me and Brad.
Okay. All right. If that's what
Brad and I.
That's all right. All right. Hope Bessler, let's talk about recovery. Okay. We'll talk about it. Robert Brandis. Hi, Andrea Duffy. How are you, sweet judge?
Oh.
Your beautiful wife, Andrea Diaz.
Hi, honey.
Our phone lines, 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Rich Rosenbaum, you guys set me free. That's a good one. That's a good one. Shelley Porter Williams. Jim Hoffman. Great group of... Listen.
We make it all possible.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if any of our listeners or viewers are near here, when we're done the show today at 4 o'clock, we're in the parking lot smoking cigars.
Yes, we are.
So you can come by and we'd love to meet every one of you and all of you. And then we'll talk later on in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a large barbecue after
the
show.
That'll be so much fun.
Food trucks and everything outside.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be great. That was your idea and it was brilliant. Okay.
Thank you, and I'm glad that you're running with the food trucks and everything.
Yeah, I don't want to start making.
What are we gonna be cooking in that barbecue?
We're not. I just said we have food trucks.
Oh yeah,
Mark, you're
steak.
Right? Are you okay, Mark?
I'm good.
Okay, good, good. All right, give us a call 1-888-329-3306. You know, as
let us know how you're doing.
Yeah, let us know how you're doing. I know this is getting sort of like stale already, and this repetition of being at home and having to wear masks, but this is what it is, man.
I keep thinking that sometime I'm going to wake up and I'm going to find out that this was like a whole dream. I mean, it's just been crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been.
And then all the stuff last night in Minneapolis and just strange times in the USA right now.
Strange times. You know, when we say, you know, we got to wear masks and we're at home, there's a lot of people that don't have a home.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have money to get a mask.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Can't get food. I mean, we're really lucky.
Yeah, we are. We are. But we want to hear from you guys. See how you're doing, how you're getting through this pandemic, how your recovery's going in this pandemic. And, you know, if you're staying out of isolation, we talk about that every week.
Yeah.
Trying to get out of isolation.
Absolutely. Listen, while we're waiting for some
calls,
let's go through some of the emails we got this week. Larry K. from Philadelphia. Good. It seems that the drugs today are way more lethal than in the 60s and 70s. Any reason why? Well, here's my take on it. The use of heroin and the opioids was nothing. I mean, Mark, you'll be able to clarify this. Was nothing like it is today. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, there were pockets like outside New York City in the early 70s. There was a horrible kind of heroin epidemic. And or in New York City. But yeah, you just don't, you didn't see, I wasn't alive back then, but from what I've heard, you didn't see the amount of opioids being used. And then now the game changers is this synthetic opioids that are coming through.
And
so
the
it's
fentanyls and all that.
Oh yeah. It's horrible. You know, I just, talked to somebody last week who had, I think I mentioned last week, he had taken a Percocet that he bought off the street and it was laced with fentanyl and he almost OD'd. But that's what we're talking about, is the synthetic drugs that are around now has made it much more dicey.
Well, I can say, you know, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and it was the opioids. You might have heard of Percocet, some people taking Percocets, and there were some people who were using LSD. But the majority of people that I knew, it was marijuana, it was Quaaludes, and it was speed. Is speed an issue now, Mark, at work?
It is.
Amphetamine?
Amphetamines. Meth has been coming back. I know we've been talking about it on the show for a while, but meth has been coming east. And it's pretty prevalent at this point, and it's a big problem, and it's going to get worse. But, you know, if you look at the death rates from now back 20 years, it's just, it's really unbelievable how much this epidemic has taken off and how many people are dying from it. Looks like we have a couple callers, but I think they disappeared off of here,
both
Gary. You know, but everything seems like it's stronger these days, you know?
Yeah, right?
It really does. Yeah. I mean, it's really, really horrible out there. You know, you look like you're about to throw something.
Oh, yeah. because we had two callers and I don't know where they went. Hello.
Oh. Oh my God, he really.
We had two callers on a line? They were just on a line. Okay.
Here comes again.
Here they come. Oh, okay. Let's take Ricardo.
Glad you didn't break a window.
Me too.
You were too?
Yeah. Caller on a line, Ricardo.
Hey, Ricardo.
Hey, what's going on, Gary? Mark, what's happening, man?
Not much. How are you?
Doing good, man. You invited me on my show. I was telling my wife, I said, I can't wait for that day to come on there and talk about recovery.
We meant it.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. I called just to tell you a little quick little story. The other day, I was by myself in the van and, you know, going for a ride and I was by myself, naturally, you know, for this kind of thing to happen to me. And all of a sudden, childhood trauma started like playing in my head. I started having flashbacks, and I said, "Holy crow, what the heck? What's going on here?" I said, "You know, since this whole Corona thing, I haven't really had any problems, you know." And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, my stomach started to turn. I says, holy cow, what in the world is going on? I'm completely by myself, no radio on, you know, totally in my head. And all of a sudden, like I said, these things started replaying in my head. I says, oh, my God. I says, oh, my God. So, yeah, it was a pretty scary thing the other day, you know. And, you know, just to put it out there, I called a few people from my network. My sponsor wasn't available, but I called a couple of people from my network.
Yep.
And we chatted for like, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour. And then I was good. You know, all of a sudden it wasn't so bad anymore. You know, I started to talk about the traumas though. Mm-hmm. You know, I these are people in my program that obviously I trust. You know, they're worthy of hearing my story, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, thank God they were there, man. Because I got to tell you, the devil was working overtime that day. He says, oh, I got you alone now. I got you totally alone. No wife, no kids, in the car by yourself, no radio. You know, it sure as anything, man. It was a little scary. I'm not going to lie.
Let me ask you, do you think it's building up after, this is several months now? You know, I'm not saying depressed, but, you know, I think people are starting to feel pre-depressed, maybe. I don't even know that's a word more.
And depressed.
You know, it's funny you're actually saying that, because I was actually even asking myself, like, is it finally catching up now that I haven't had you know, interaction with people from group and seeing my therapist in person, you know, is this finally catching up to me? So it's funny you say that. I don't know what the answer is to that.
Right.
You know, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. But.
And you know what else? You know, it really, you mentioned this, it really does show you that we're really by ourselves when it comes down to it with everything. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Sickness, death, or pre-death. You know, we have the loved ones and our friends and family, but you know what? You're really by yourself.
Yeah, and that's always what I always try to put forth in groups. That,
yeah.
You know, what I strive for is emotional sobriety.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to be clean, but there's also another thing to be, you know, what I always preach, you know, be emotionally sober, you know, being able to be with myself.
Yes.
Like
mm-hmm.
being in my own company.
Yes. Yes.
You know, but you know, hey, I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. And it's, you know, being that I'm a survivor, you know, you're going to have things pop up. And you got to, you know, you got to be willing to talk about them, or I could play the victim and fall right back into the whole freaking big mess again, you know, right down that damn rabbit hole, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey man, listen, we got lined up with callers, Carson. We
oh,
love
nice.
You. Listen,
Beautiful.
Man,
got some callers.
Okay. We love you, and again, we can't wait that you're going to be coming on a show.
Love to hear your story.
We love to hear your story and to meet you. So that's cool. So listen, have a great weekend.
Thanks. Yeah.
You have too. A great
too,
weekend.
Guys. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks. All right,
man.
Let's bring
right.
Kevin
Bye.
On right now. Kev.
Kevin. Oh, no. We lost him.
All right. Bob and Brian, let's bring them on. Yo, guys.
Bobby.
Yeah. Yo.
Yo.
What's happening, man?
Let me ask you something. Is your rear end still connected to your body?
Yeah. He's sitting over here right next to me right now.
That's Brian. Are you talking about Brian? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are in Florida?
We're outside Tallahassee.
Okay, where's the end of the ride?
Jacksonville Beach, Florida, on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning.
My gosh.
On First Avenue between 4th and 5th Street.
What is there something that you're craving that you couldn't have in the last couple of weeks during this ride? I mean, you know. And keep it clean, man. Come on.
Yeah. A quiet from Brian complaining wanting to get coffee every morning before I start riding.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know what? I miss my wife.
My wife. That's nice. Listen, Bobby, tell our viewers what you have done, the incredible journey you just took, and what it's about.
Well, about 3.5 weeks ago, we left Ventura Beach. We left Maureen Faulkner's house. We went up a little north up to Ventura Beach, and Brian and I went ahead and started riding east through the mountains and, you know, California.
Desert.
Arizona, right. New Mexico, Texas, from the furthest west, northwest point of Texas all the way down to Houston, which is the southeast point. It was like almost a week old coming through there. Louisiana and Mississippi, then Alabama, and now we're in Florida, and we're trying to raise awareness for the Justice for Danny Faulkner Foundation and the police survivors in Lodge 5.
Yes.
You know, it's been tough right now. Past couple of days have been tough, you know, I'm just looking forward to this, you know, just looking forward to getting home. I'm just physically exhausted. I'm wiped out. My knees are swollen. My back hurts. I just am tired.
Emotionally, how
really
you feeling?
Am, but I won't stop.
How you feeling emotionally?
Oh, man, I'm good. And I say this, Gary, this is weird. Sometimes I get a little anxious in life.
Yep.
But I tell you, I've never had a depressed day in my life, I swear to God. So I just feel great. So is Brian, you know. We're both wanting to get back to Philly. That's
sure, sure. Well, you know, we've talked about you off the air. You know, I talked to Jim and, you know, Mark, and we're in awe of what you just did. I don't think I could do that on a motorcycle, you know, and you did it.
It's unbelievable.
You know, pedaling.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And now you're riding all the way back to Philly from Florida.
No way.
Now
I get to the beach, and we're just going to go there and just, you know, have a few moments. I got some flags being signed, one for the lodge, Lodge 5, which is like an 8x5 foot flag.
Yeah.
But it's one of the blue lives flag, you know, or the blue lines, the thin blue line flags.
Yeah.
And two other ones, 2 3x5 flags that are being signed by cops all over. And they're one's for Maureen Faulkner and the other's going to be for Terry O'Connor, Sergeant O'Connor's wife, who was recently, the sergeant that was recently killed.
Right. Bobby, give the website where people can donate to this.
Yes. DanielFaulkner.org, all lowercase.
Okay.
DanielFaulkner.org.
Okay.
But it's, like I said last week, I've put a lot of money out for this myself, when it's all done, over $15,000. And right now, we've only raised about $8,000.
All right, come on, everybody. Come on. Everybody's got some bread, no matter what it is, $5, $1, $100. Donate to this cause.
It's all tax deductible.
It's all tax deductible.
You know what I mean?
Come on, man. This guy rode his bike across the country. You can easily get your credit card out and donate a couple bucks. Give the website again, Bob.
DanielFaulkner.org. And like I say,
is it Daniel.Faulkner or Daniel.Faulkner.org? Which one is it?
No, it's DanielFaulkner.org. It's all lowercase, no space.
Okay, good.
It's DanielFaulkner.org. And, I want you to let you know that, John McNesby and, Mark O'Connor from the Irish pub down there on Walnut Street and Maureen Faulkner and Paul and the rest of the crew. They all thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to talk about this. It's right now, as you know, with the incident that happened not that long, it's been very, very difficult all the way around for police. And
yeah, it has been. Yep.
It's just a crazy world we live in, man. I just, like I say, your viewers are the best, and hanging out with you, they got to be smart too.
Yeah. And listen, man, when you come back, we're going to have a little get together, all of us. You know what I'm saying? We get Petrowski and all of us here at the state, the show. We'd like to do that to honor you.
I made the first donation, but Jim was the first guy to donate to this when it popped up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good guy.
Like a month ago.
Yeah.
That's the best, man.
He's the best.
He really is.
Thank you, Bobby. And tell Brian also thank you very, very much.
Brian.
Okay. Hey,
Brian. How you doing, Gary?
Good, Brian. Remember, go forwards, man, right? All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, brother.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
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 He sounds tired.
Yeah, let's get Kevin on. Mike, let's get Kevin on, okay, buddy? Hey, Kev.
Kevin.
Hey.
What's up?
What's up?
How are you?
How are you?
Good. You're calling from the
fantabulous.
Great state of, is it Alabama or Louisiana?
Louisiana.
Oh, he's Louisiana.
Right where Daniel just passed through.
Wow.
You been flying any kites lately?
Not lately. As soon as the doctor releases me from my shoulder, I will be back out.
What's wrong with your shoulder, man?
I've had 2 rotator cuff surgeries.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah. I had one done last year.
Yeah, they're brutal. Yeah. I don't ever want to have to go through this again.
No. Well, maybe you shouldn't be flying kites. You have to put your arm up in the air.
I know.
Yeah, I know. I hear. You'll be right back as soon as you can, and you should be. What? How's your week been?
Oh, man. Son and family came in with 3 grandbabies, and it's been hectic. We're glad they're gone.
Glad
they're gone, but we miss them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the granddaughter's 12, and then the boys are 5 and 3.
Ooh, that's rough, man. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's rough. That's hard work.
I told him at one point, I said, do y'all want me to just take the back door off the hinges? And the youngest one said, please, Peepaw.
That's funny stuff. Well, listen, thank you. We're coming up against our hour. We can't hang on long with you, Kevin, but we appreciate you when you call every week. It means a lot to Mark and myself, and we love the support that you give us. We really do.
Oh, man, I'm glad y'all are there for us. You know, I mean, everybody needs somebody to talk to and somebody just to get things off their shoulders, you know?
Absolutely. So thank you.
I appreciate you guys, and y'all enjoy those cigars, man. Isn't Mark a little too young to be smoking cigars?
Mark's a little too young
Gary
to be doing
corrupted
anything.
Me.
Yeah, I corrupted him. I can
believe it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, listen. if Mark was my age, I would have corrupted.
Oh, we
him.
Would have been in trouble.
Yeah.
If we ran together.
I can believe it. Y'all would have been.
Yeah.
Y'all have been in jail cells together.
I still would be in the penitentiary at this point. The Quaalude Clinic.
I had to do that myself in the jail cells without Mark. All right, listen, bro. Kevin, thanks a million. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, see you, Kevin.
Thanks. I'll do the same.
Okay, buddy.
All right, y'all too.
Another great Bye-bye. Guy, man. Another great guy. Blah, blah, blah. Frankie Griffin is watching. Hey, Frank, what's up? Let me see. There's some more people on here. I don't
Got
know.
Hope wrote in again.
Yeah, what's Hope's story today?
Well, she's doing a little better with the pain, but you know, she's still in pain, but she didn't use, which Good. Is the most important part.
That's right.
You That's know, right. she yeah. got through it, trucking right through it.
Man.
Pain.
Pain is.
Absolutely.
First of all, I think it's really scary. I have a very low tolerance for any kind of pain. Pain is scary to me because if I have something that's very painful, I'm afraid it will never go away.
That's what I do.
Do you have the same thing?
Absolutely. Or if I'm really sick, I feel like I'm never going to get better. We call that catastrophizing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, called? There's actually a word for that.
I didn't
it's
know
with
that.
Anxiety. It's like where you blow it up in your head and you yeah. think it's going to be worse than it is yeah. a lot of times. But I go through the same thing, Gary.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's typical, right? Of course we both
we
think that way.
We got a lot
way.
In common, don't we?
We do.
Oh, my God. Well, we're coming up on it. Hey, first of all, how's everybody at your house?
Everybody's good. We're getting new floors next week, which will be cool during quarantine, I guess, right?
Okay. What kind of floor? What?
Like hardwood floors.
Great,
floors.
Man.
So we're doing that.
Good.
And my son's going to finish school soon, and my wife's hanging in there. You know, I'll tell you, it has been a little crazy just being inside so much, trying to get outside more.
Yeah, man. I know. Well, it's starting to heat up out there, so, you know. Hey, let's remind everybody. If you're not doing anything the next 5 minutes, we're going to be downstairs in the parking lot. And we're going to put together that barbecue.
Ah.
We're going to have food trucks. It'll be great.
Should we get the band out?
Which band are you talking about?
The Clean and Sober Radio band.
No,
you and I.
Yeah. We don't want to scare people away.
It would be too good. Yeah.
And you'd be playing the guitar, right?
I guess. I could play drums, but you play drums.
Right.
I play guitar.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, guys.
And
you know what the worst is? Have you ever like gone to play the guitar with other people and you actually have a really good guitar player there? Yeah. It just makes you so self-conscious.
Yeah, I know better. I wouldn't embarrass myself. Yeah. Of course, you want people that are not as good as you.
Absolutely.
But not if you have a band because you want everybody to sound good.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so many supporters of this show, famous people like today. One of them let us in. I tried to get into two bands in Philly of famous people. None of them wanted me singing, just for singing,
really?
For vocals.
I was in a band before, too.
What band?
They called it Sigmund Floyd.
Oh, a little play on words,
yeah,
right?
A little play on words, and it was in college. We played out once. I messed up.
So what was it called? Sigmund what?
Sigmund Floyd.
Sigmund
like Pink Floyd. Yeah.
Or Sigmund Freud.
Yeah, you could call it Sigmund Freud,
that
I guess.
That would be a psychotic band.
Yeah. That would be about right with this particular band.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't make it, Gary. Let me just tell you that.
Listen, in my book, you're a star.
Thanks.
Okay?
You too, Gary. We say this to each other all the time to kind of boost our self-esteem.
Yeah. Hey, that music means we're getting out of here.
We're getting out.
Listen, have a great weekend.
You too.
Hey, Brad, have a great weekend. Mike Vito, thank you for your hard work today, brother.
I was trying, boys.
You
I'm
did a
trying.
Great job, man.
Thank you.
That's great, man. That is good stuff. Did we miss anybody?
Oh, yeah, Chris Brennan. I just met him
Chris
a couple
a
months
guy.
Ago at RCA.
Chris is a good guy.
Yes, he is.